and focus on the blood of Jesus, because that was the price that was paid. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, tonight to 1 Peter, the first letter of Peter, chapter 1. And we'll read verses 18 and 19. While you're turning there, let me say thank you for your faithfulness in prayer. What a powerful prayer meeting on Tuesday night. Amen. We appreciate Brother Lama's teaching on prayer, and then the ladies joining in prayer so strong. We thank the Lord for that. Praise God. And this is not Thanksgiving, but I'm going to give thanks for your giving on both tithely and in the mail. The Lord bless you richly for being faithful in that regard. Amen. And we're looking forward to a time of celebration on Easter morning. I wish we could all be together, but I trust we're going to be together with a live stream and be able to worship wherever we are in the victory that the Lord gave over death, hell, and the grave. Praise God. Be in prayer for some treat bags that are going out to a bunch of kids and in our outreach effort. I trust that God's going to touch those little hearts, and especially touch the hearts of the parents. Amen. So be in prayer. Sister Becca did a great job of putting those together, and Sister Sherry, we appreciate their efforts, and we definitely want the Lord to use that. Thank the Lord. I believe God can. All right. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed," I'm glad it doesn't stop there. I'm glad it goes on to explain that redemption was not with certain things, but with others. "You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Amen. Thank God that the price that was paid was in the blood of Christ. And we thank the Lord that as such, it is powerful. It is effective. A theological word is efficacious. It simply means it does the job. It gets the work done. Praise God. And we thank the Lord for it. All right, you may be seated. Some people here are standing, so I got to tell them to be seated. You probably weren't standing in your house, but that's okay. The price, bought with a price. The apostle uses that phrase twice in his letter to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20, he reminds them, "For you are bought with a price, therefore, in light of that price being paid, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Amen. If the Lord paid the price and your body and your spirit belong to him because he paid for it, then certainly that needs to be the area that we focus on to give glory. The second time he used that phrase was in chapter 7, verse 23. 1 Corinthians 7 and 23. "You are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Now, we are following the mandate of the governor. We are trying to abide by the stipulations for social distancing and the number in a gathering. Thank the Lord, the number went back up to 10. So we're thankful that we can have a small group gather, and then certainly a small group gathering in the homes as well to exalt the name of the Lord. But we follow that not as servants of men, but certainly in servants to God, because he is the one who paid the price. Let's read where we started from Peter's first letter. Let's read beginning at verse 17 this time, and I'll share from the New Life Version in just a different era of English, modern English, as you follow along in your King James, if that's what you have. 1 Peter 1:17, the Father is the one who judges you by what you do. Wow, that's something good to keep in mind. He does not respect one person more than another. If you call him Father, be sure you honor him with love and fear all the days of your life here on earth. Amen. I think that's a powerful verse as well. And then it goes on into verse 18 where we started. You know you were not bought and made free from sin. Oh, I like that. Made free from sin. By paying gold or silver, which comes to an end. That's temporary. You know you were not saved from the punishment of sin by the way of life that you were given from your earthly fathers. The way of just self-will, self-direction, and doing what we felt was right. That way of life was worth nothing. It didn't produce the results that we were looking for. It didn't come forth with the power that we desired. Verse 19, the blood of Christ saved you. This blood is of great worth, and no amount of money can buy it. Christ was given as a lamb without sin and without spot. Thank God, he more than qualifies to be the sinless sacrifice that was that paid the price in blood, an exorbitant price paid in blood. Now, this blood sacrifice had its beginning actually all the way back to Adam and Eve. When their wrongdoing, their disobedience, and their sin had to be covered by the sacrifice of an innocent animal, bloodshed, so that God could make clothing for them there in the garden. And then Cain and Abel's sacrifice, and on through Abraham, and then Moses, where it became very involved and very thorough. Hebrews 9 and 22 lets us know that the Lord considers it a prerequisite, a very strong prerequisite. Almost all things, that verse says, are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. So we recognize it's very essential in God's plan and was ultimately pointing to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Leviticus 17 and 11, the New American Standard Bible renders it like this, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And that's a strong medical truth now. And I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood by reason of the life that makes an atonement. So we talk about life blood and the necessity there of the Lord making that sacrifice, the blood of Jesus being a superior sacrifice. The law was inadequate. The sacrifices were inadequate. We're going to look at several verses in Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll share with you from different translations. Verse 1, the NIV reads like this. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. They may come with the sacrifices, they may offer the sacrifices year after year, faithfully giving in the manner that they were taught, but it's not going to do the job. Drop down to verse 4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. And we see from the statement that Paul wrote in Galatians that in this manner the law was a schoolmaster. A schoolmaster teaches. What lesson is being taught here? That the blood of bulls and goats is inadequate. It simply was for that time, for that period. But the Lord, thank God, was willing to offer himself as a sacrifice for atonement. The Hebrew word kafar for atonement has numerous definitions. One of them is to cover, that atonement would cover our sins, being covered by those sacrifices, but not removed. That's where the blood of Jesus and the sacrifice that he gave once and for all was greater, was superior, did the job, because he could remove our sins. The blood of Jesus will remove, will purge, will expunge sin. Praise God. And I'm thankful that the blessing of the Lord is such that it's not just covered, but it's removed. Remission means forgiveness. It means pardon. It means washing. And in Matthew 26 and 28, the service that we're going to commemorate when we're finished here tonight is the time of Jesus with his disciples. And here in this passage, Matthew 26 and 28, the Lord holding the cup forth to them, saying, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Thank God, no matter how many, everybody can have their sins remitted in the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism. Thank God that there's no end and there's no lack in what the Lord is able to do because of his blood. Amen. Now, back to Hebrews 10. We'll drop down to verse 10. "By the which will, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all." Thank God it doesn't have to happen again and again. We see Jesus on the cross in artwork or sculpture or some manner like that, but that's simply a reminder of the sacrifice that he made once for all. He's not there now. Thank God. He is alive and powerful and able to do a work through his great name. Verse 12 in Hebrews 10, "This man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God," the right hand of power, of authority. And he was able to accomplish that and then have the authority and the power to be able to deal with men's sins. Praise God. I'm so thankful that he has provided and made a way for us the precious and powerful blood of Jesus Christ. Now, gold is called a precious metal. Silver as well. They're in limited quantity, and I suppose that's what adds to them being qualified as or distinguished as precious. Their rarity establishes their worth. But the scripture let us know it wasn't silver or gold that redeemed you. It wasn't a monetary price that was exacted. It was the blood of Jesus, pure and priceless. Thank God that no matter how much sin, how much iniquity, unrighteousness, transgressions, whatever you might want to call it, it washes it clean from our hearts and we remain pure. It's not something that comes in place for a certain period of time and then it vanishes because it can't last. Oh no, the Lord did it once and for all. Praise God. And I'm so thankful. The scripture from Isaiah 53 and verse 5 would establish the aspect of healing that would come because of the blood of Christ. And Peter, in his first letter, makes mention of it as well, chapter 2 and verse 24. Thank God that healing also comes by the shed blood of Jesus Christ, as well as the forgiveness of sins, the remission of sins, the removal of sins, the covering of sins, all of those aspects that he provided. Thank God that healing comes by the power of the blood of Jesus as well. I'd like for us right now to pray for those who need a healing touch. Brother and Sister Adams, Anne Marie, Brother Hernandez, Sister Farmer, Brother Seagraves, Brother Cliff, anybody that you can think of that needs a healing touch right now, let's claim the blood of Jesus. Let's call on the Lord. Let's believe that His blood is going to do the work that His word declares. Clear back from Isaiah 53 to the recognition of it by Peter, and now how alive and powerful the blood of Jesus is. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, we call upon You now for those who need healing. We ask You, Lord Jesus, to manifest Your power again. We thank You for the blood that You shed. We thank You for the blood that was given. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You willingly gave Yourself as a sacrifice for our salvation, for our healing. And now, Lord, we plead Your blood. We ask You, O God, to do the work of healing now, to provide for Sister Farmer, for Brother Seagraves, Lord, for Brother Hernandez, oh God, in these special needs. We ask You, Lord, to manifest Your power and to do the work that only You are able to do, Lord, by Your precious blood, by Your powerful name. Oh God, for Brother Cliff, Lord, oh Jesus, to do the work, God, that is needed. All that are in need of healing, God, we ask You to extend Your touch, to cover with Your blood, to apply that healing blood, Lord, and we thank You for it. We give You the praise. We give You the glory, and we thank You, Jesus, for Your great power tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. Made whole, made healthy because of the cross. Amen. When the Lord was taken to that cross, actually, He carried it. He carried it part way. The suffering is beyond imagination. He had been kept up all that night, and much bloodshed already because of the beating He received through the night, the scourging with the cat of nine tails, a crown of thorns pushed cruelly down on His scalp, and now carrying that cross to Golgotha's hill. The blood loss, the torture, the beatings took its toll, and he fell. Another was compelled to carry the cross. But when they reached the top of the hill, the nails that pierced His flesh contributed to bloodshed for another 6 hours as He hung upon that cross. And then at the end, the soldier's spear to ensure the death of Jesus Christ. The events of the cross, while He was there, the darkness that started at noon and lasted for 3 hours. I can imagine the light-sensitive flowers that would begin to close up because in the darkness they thought it was night. The rooster that had crowed that morning at Peter's third denial began to settle itself down thinking, it's evening, it's nighttime, and he needed to roost. Then the earthquake. The Bible says the rocks were rent. They were broken. And I can imagine they tumbled down the hill as the earth shook. I don't think it was just a small trembler. I don't think it was something that people would look at with astonishment at one another and say, earthquake. I think they had to grab a hold of something to stabilize themselves. I think they recognized that this indeed was quite an earthquake. Herod felt it in his palace, and Pilate in his judgment hall could remember the note that he had held from his wife saying, have nothing to do with this just man. He would remember what was foretold there and how that indeed something special had happened. The veil that was torn in the temple. This is interesting that the note or the sign that Pilate had nailed to the head of the cross, the top of the cross, was this is Jesus, King of the Jews. And it was written in three languages. It was written in Greek and Latin and Hebrew. The Greeks and the Romans didn't care. They didn't pay attention. I suppose it didn't matter to them if Pilate was calling him a king of the Jews. But the Hebrews took exception to it. And they wanted it changed. They wanted it to say something different. But there it stood. Now, it's significant that the veil being torn in the temple from top to bottom. It wasn't just a little snag. It wasn't just something that could be explained by coincidence, by accident. But the veil being torn from top to bottom was a very supernatural sign that that one group, that one particular group, was given. Thank God that the Lord was reaching out even from the cross and saying, I want to show you something. I want to reveal myself to you. I want to show you my plan, and you're going to recognize you can enter into my presence. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord. Some 50 days later, the outpouring of the Holy Ghost came in such a powerful way, and the Lord demonstrated what he was trying to do in showing that the veil was torn. We could enter into his presence and know his power. What tremendous promise that we see from the cross when the Lord declared, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And thank the Lord, his forgiveness is extended to us. Hebrews 10 again. Hebrews 10, verse 17. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The writer felt so strong about that that he wrote it also in Hebrews 8 and 12. Twice, the writer of the Hebrews would cite this scripture from Jeremiah 31 and 24, how that the Lord declared, it's not going to be remembered against them. Jesus crying out, Father, forgive them. Oh, thank the Lord for his forgiveness and his promise, I will remember your sins and iniquities no more. The computer age that we're in, you can delete a document. You can delete information or a site that you've been to and so on. But a computer expert who knows what he's doing or what knows what she is doing would be able to find where you went to a certain site or you had a certain document. They can pull it up. They know how. They can find it there. The computer does not erase, does not forget. But thank God, our Lord forgives and forgets. Oh, hallelujah. I'm thankful that the Lord is able to do that work. Amen. And it can't be retrieved from a recycle bin or a waste can or anything like that. God's compassion far greater than any computer to forget. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful for the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We say, I plead the blood. That's more than a Pentecostal phrase. That's more than just something that we utter in our terminology of calling upon the Lord. It's a powerful truth in the spiritual realm, and we're able to have that power of the Lord in our lives. I like to turn to Revelation once in a while and look at the end of the book and see how it turns out. Amen. And there's many instances of the blood in the book of Revelation, this powerful truth in the spiritual realm. Revelation 12 and 11, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That accuser of the brethren, the one who is relentless in his accusations, the one who is going to constantly remind you and try to pull you down with your past. I'm thankful you can overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. There is power in that precious blood. Amen. Revelation 1 and 5 lets us know that we are washed in his own blood. Oh, the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Thank God for that blood that Jesus shed for me and for you. Revelation 7 and 14, their robes were made white in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God. Again, that healing touch, that changing touch, that blessed touch that the Lord's able to bring to us as we reach out to him and know there is power in the blood. The blood is an unmatched weapon that the Christian can call upon and use. The devil can imitate. The devil can counterfeit. The devil can make himself even an angel of light, the Bible warns us. An angel of light. And he deceives in that regard. False spirits can try to take the place of the Holy Spirit. Lies and deceit from the devil can try to disprove truth and replace it with tradition or man's ideas and thoughts. False prophets can abound, and the real prophets of God can be obscured. The Antichrist is already at work, and the real Jesus Christ sometimes is discredited and called down. But thank the Lord, our God is powerful and able to do a work, because there is no counterfeit that the devil can come up with for the blood of Christ. There is no substitute for the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no defeat for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God that he is able to do that work and able to bring about those changes, able to provide the salvation that is so great. Hallelujah. Thank God that there is no repentance of those who really recognize, I'm following the Lord. I'm washed in his blood. I'm filled with his spirit. I'm called by his name. Hallelujah. Thank God. We don't need to repent or turn from that and decide I'm going to go back to what I knew before, but I thank God for his blood that covers me, his blood that protects me, his blood that delivers me, his blood that heals me. Hallelujah. Thank God for the mercy that he extends through his blood, and we keep on walking with him in victory, in power, in blessing because of the blood. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you for your blood. We glorify your name because of your blood. We worship you, Lord Jesus, because of your blood. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Cover us with your blood, Lord. Wash us with your blood, Lord. Cleanse us with your blood. Oh, Jesus, we glorify and lift up your holy name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ, we praise and worship your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord. We lift up your great name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank the Lord, thank the Lord, thank the Lord. Amen. I'm glad that it's a powerful truth that that makes a difference in believers' lives from the time of the apostles when they sat with him at what we call the Last Supper, and he held up the bread and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Held forth the cup and said, this is my blood in the New Testament, which is shed for many, the remission of sins. Thank God. From that time to the time of Saul of Tarsus, who would have the revelation of how powerful it is to recognize the blood that was shed, the body that was sacrificed, the work that the Lord did on the cross, all the way to where we are right now, recognizing how wonderful, how powerful, how real that is. Amen. The apostle said, I received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And then the apostle goes on and describes what happened and what took place. I'm thankful that it became real to the apostle. It became powerful to him. It wasn't something that he was trying to stamp out now. It wasn't something that he was trying to remove and trying to eliminate. But the Lord, in his forgiveness, reached out to Saul of Tarsus and brought a change to his life as well. Thank God for the power of the Lord to make a difference. Amen. The blood of Jesus cleansing him who had been a murderer, had been a prosecutor, and causing those to blaspheme as he would apprehend those who believed in the name of Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord that God made a difference in his life. And then he is the author of almost half of the New Testament. He said, I received it of the Lord, and I delivered it to you. And thank God we're able to recognize what the Lord has done in our lives as well. Amen. Imagine the same night in which he was betrayed. He knew that betrayal was coming. He knew that Judas would identify him with a kiss there in the garden. He knew what would happen. He knew that none would stand with him. And yet, here he is, letting them know about his body and his blood. Paul went on, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. this do in remembrance of me. We remember him. We remember the sacrifice. And thank God, it's not the way it was all those many years ago, hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago. He's not being mistreated. He's not being slapped and beaten. He's not being whipped and a crown of thorns lacerating his scalp. That's not happening now. But we remember it. We look back and we understand the incredible price that he paid and what he was willing to do to bring about our salvation and our healing. Paul went on, after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then Paul went on with his explanation, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." We're remembering that death, but we're also remembering he's coming. He's soon to come, praise God. And the things that we see happening in our world today are simply fulfillment of many prophecies of the end times. And we recognize it's happening. Amen. Then Paul very carefully helps us to understand our responsibility, our position, and partaking. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." It's not to be just a ritual, just a routine. It's a recognition of what the Lord did for us and then how it needs to be applied to my life. So he said, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now we know we're not worthy, but the Lord calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we're able to respond here with obedience, and looking back to what the Lord did for us and applying it to where we are today, tonight, and recognizing he's coming and I need to be ready. Praise God. Praise God. Can we stand together? I think it would be good for us to stand in the presence of the Lord. And let's take just a moment to do what the apostle said, examine ourselves, and let the Lord, with his blood, cleanse us again. Let his blood cover us again as we seek him and forgiveness and put our trust in him. Amen. Let's call on the Lord together. Jesus, we look to you, O God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to do the work of healing, to do the work of cleansing, to do the work of forgiveness. Oh, Jesus, that my heart, Lord, would be covered by your blood, my soul, my mind, everything that I am, Lord, be covered by your precious blood. Forgiveness, Lord Jesus, for every wrong thought and deed and word, oh God, that I could be covered by your precious blood. In the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I praise you and worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Amen. Amen. Before we partake of the bread and the cup, let's sing this chorus of "It will never lose its power." That's why we focus on it. That's why we partake, because we know how powerful it is and able to do the work that we're requiring of him tonight.
For it reaches,
oh, yes,
to the highest mountain.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh God, to the lowest. All of the valleys that we go through, Lord, cover us in your blood.
The blood.
Yes, give us strength, Lord.
Strength from day,
every day, every day.
Strength.
strength and covering, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, yeah, sing it out now. Hallelujah.
For it reaches to the highest mountain.
Oh, it flows to the lowest valley. Oh, the blood that gives me strength from day. It will never lose its power. Oh, it reaches to the highest mountain. Oh, it flows to the lowest valley. Yes, the blood that gives me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I praise you, I praise you, I praise you, Lord. That precious blood, that powerful blood. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, yes, Jesus. We can make it personal. You can apply it to us tonight. We thank you for it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Please take your cracker and cup and be ready to partake together here tonight. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Remember now, he said, "As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." Amen. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Worship the Lord here for a few minutes now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I feel to do this right now. We know there's no defeat for the blood. There's no taking away of the victory of the blood of Jesus. It is powerful. It is wonderful. I want us to pray right now for our loved ones that they would know the cleansing of the blood. I want us to pray for backsliders that they would come again to the place of being covered by the blood of Jesus, victory in the blood of Jesus. Can we call on the Lord for them right now? Amen. Can we bring their names to the throne? Amen. Let's trust the Lord together for them. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Let them know the cleansing of your blood, Lord. Let them know the victory in your blood, Jesus. Let sin and addictions and habits not keep them bound, but Lord, deliver them from darkness. Let them walk free from the power of darkness. Bring them into your marvelous light, Lord Jesus. Bring a change to them now, God, a change, Lord, that is powerful in your blood. Oh, Savior, that you would do a work for them now, God. Everyone that walked with you at one time, everyone, Lord, that served you with their heart, help them now, God, to remember you, especially in this hour, especially in this season. Help them to remember you, Lord, and the power of your name, the blessing of your blood. Help them, Jesus, to hunger for you again. Defeat, Lord, I pray, the deceit of the devil. Defeat the lies, Lord God, that are told. Oh, God, bring truth, I pray, Lord, into their minds, into their hearts, that there would be a freedom. There would be a desire. There would be a hunger, God, to seek after you again. Turn their steps, Lord Jesus, I pray. Oh, God, that again they would walk in the paths of righteousness. They would follow after you, Lord God, in your spirit. They'd be obedient to your precious word. Oh, Savior, do a work in their lives now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. By the power, the name of Jesus Christ, by the power of the blood that you shed, Lord, the forgiveness that you would extend, hallelujah. Oh, Savior, we glorify you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, 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 amen. Thank God. Can we sing it again? The blood will never lose its power. Amen. I want that to really grab a hold of us tonight. To really be able to claim that no matter the valley, no matter the problem, no matter the difficulty, the blood of Jesus is not going to be defeated. And that's what we're going to claim tonight. Amen. And live in that victory that he's provided.
For it reaches to the
Amen.
to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Thank God. Let your confidence be in the presence of the Lord and the power of His name. Amen. The power of His Spirit, the power of His blood. Oh, my. The victory that the Lord has provided for His people is something that the devil is no way going to defeat. And it's a victory that will last for eternity. That's what's so additionally exciting. The Lord makes a difference in our lives here and now. And oh my, what a difference there's going to be in the heavenly realm. Let's hold on. Let's keep believing. Let's keep going. Amen. Hallelujah. It's going to be worth it all. Praise the Lord. And certainly, the words of the writer in the Hebrews says, you've not resisted unto death, you know. Don't feel like it's too overwhelming, like it's too great. No, you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Amen. And the blessing of the Lord will be there. We're looking forward to Sunday morning, our Bible lesson at 10 o'clock, and then our celebration of the resurrection at 11 o'clock. We're looking forward to a great time together. And we trust that we'll be able to live stream it without any glitches and problems, and be able to share together in this powerful truth. Amen. The Lord bless you as you continue to pray, continue to give, continue to witness. Thank God for the Bible studies. Amen. Continue with the Bible studies, and let's see what the Lord will do as we call upon His great name. We miss you so much and wish that you were here with us, and the Lord is going to bring a change, I believe, soon, and we're going to be able to celebrate in victory together in the name of the Lord. We love you. God bless you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ.